welcome to Hot Business and welcome Viv Govender from Rand Swiss. Good evening. Thank you for your time. Your view from the market today. It's been, well, actually, I'm just going to lead in with a question here. Friday, wow, the S&P got smashed. Our market kind of reversed a little bit, ended a third of a percent down from 1% up. Wasn't so bad, but that definitely catching up today. 1.5% down on the S&P, on the top 40 index. Rough day.
Oh, yes, most certainly. And look, I never understood why the market was so confident that the Fed was going to start reversing interest rate hikes, quite soon, or that they were going to announce it quite soon, you know what I mean? We are still seeing relatively high interest inflation rates in the U.S. and globally. The Fed's target is 2%, which is, miles away from here. I've seen estimates that say that even under, positive circumstances, you're looking at multiple years, 5 years plus before we get down to that 2% rate if everything goes in the Fed's favor, and possibly more than a decade if it doesn't. So it doesn't make sense for the Fed to basically start cutting rates very quickly. And secondly, even if they were intending to cut rates like next year, announcing it would basically take away a lot of their power, because much of the Fed or any central bank's power comes from the fact that markets believe what they say. And if they basically came out and were like, we're going to fall quite soon, that reduces the confidence that people have in the Fed that they're willing to fight inflation. So it was already, irrational optimism around that. In fact, even earlier in the week, Bullard had come out and said, James Bullard of the Fed as well, had come out and said, don't expect it. So yeah, it was to some extent the most expected, unexpected bit of news that we've expected. If you get my drift.
And, equity markets really got hammered on the back of that. The S&P was down something like 0.3% on Friday. And it looks to be going today as well, almost 0.9% lower. So, what is the expectation for the rest of the week here? Do we hold on to our butts put our heads under our tables and hide for... or do we start buying the dip?
Look, I'm personally of the belief that we are going to be heading into some really tough waters going to the end of the year. Europe especially is in a very dire situation around energy. And if you look at what they basically are expecting coming through with regards to energy prices to personal inflation, I don't know if you saw the Citigroup estimate for UK inflation for January 2023, it was over 18% for the UK. So we are still having pretty tough waters out there. With regards to the U.S., I'm not so sure. The U.S. always surprises in terms of its positivity. You would never have expected it to have that massive rally we had recently. So sometimes it does surprise positivity. But I think the fundamentals of the economy, including the interest rate outlook, does justify caution at this level. I think we have not seen the low yet in this market. Whether it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks or the next couple of months or maybe early next year, we don't know. But I think there's still a lot of pain to come.
Not for Sasol shareholders, though.
Oil prices are really strong at the moment, and gas prices have gone ballistic. Energy is a huge factor in this. Right now, like I said, Europe, with its reliance on Russia, has had to make some massive moves to try and get itself prepared for the upcoming winter. They're relying on a couple of factors. One, to some extent, has gone against them. The Russians have virtually cut off supply of natural gas at the moment. But they still have a couple of things that can go in their favor. One is the weather. It could be a mild winter. If it's not a mild winter, we have problems. And the second thing is demand destruction. They're really relying on demand destruction coming through.
Yeah, but that's already happening to some degree.
But it's going to happen to a much lower extent. I saw a recent survey from, I think it was Sky News, that talked about the fact that about 1 in 10 people in the UK believe energy prices are set to fall in winter. When they almost set to double over that period of time, individuals don't have a true understanding of just how bad the energy bill is going to look like in the next few months or so in much of Europe, just because of the fact that natural gas prices have gone ballistic. Governments have come into place and trying to basically cap some of these things, nationalize things like they've done in France, for instance, or put other kind of controls on the sector. But quite frankly, it's going to be a very tough winter for many consumers in Europe. And I think that's something that I think we need to be cognizant of. And the problem is that Europe is so rich that if they are struggling for energy, they're going to basically go out to the rest of the world and buy it at whatever price it's there. And unfortunately for us in Africa and places in Asia, etc., there's just no way to compete. To give you an idea how big it is, the expected average increase, not even the bill, increase in the bill for the average UK consumer this year is about the same as the per capita GDP of India. You know what I mean? So you can see the difference in money.
Yeah,
you
know? That's perspective.
So, yeah, so there's no way an Indian consumer or a Pakistani or as good as an Egyptian or so on can compete with the kind of money that Europe is flowing out into the world at the moment. And, you know, to a certain extent, they may be able to avoid the severe blackouts in Europe, but they are going to be exporting those blackouts to the developing world.
Yeah, well, we've got enough of them, so please don't send any our ways.
Yeah, true.
And tell me a little bit about Massmart. I mean, Walmart coming out and saying, we want the other 49%, thank you very much. And that's it. That's Massmart delisted. Well, if everything gets approved.
Well, look, I mean, they're offering a pretty high premium, you know, and the share price is already up 45% on that news. And look, they're offering basically about 6.5 billion rounds. They offered, you know, to us, the previous amount they paid for basically was about $2.5 billion, 6.5 billion rounds, because the fact that the Massmart share price has come down and the dollar has strengthened versus the rand in the meantime means that, you know, they're getting the second half of the company basically for a fraction of what they paid for the first half of it, you know, in approximate terms. And it kind of makes sense. I mean, if you own half of it, if you've got this huge fixed cost anyway, and you can get the rest of it for, you know, a fraction of a billion, you already spent $2.5 billion, you'd rather just basically do it and take it private and hopefully find a way to make this business profitable and maybe relist in the future or not. But I think it's a case of there's such a large sunk cost and the additional, you know, fee for getting the rest of the company is quite small.
Yeah, so might as well just, you know, pony up and take the rest of it. How much of this do you think is tied in with, I mean, we see Amazon making quite a strong push to build a distribution center here and stuff. I mean, is this not just U.S. consumer sort of driven retail businesses competing with each other and trying to, you know, stake their claim in Africa before someone else manages to?
Well, look, Africa is the future, and I mean that not as one of those kind of rainbow happy, you know,
we almost
in terms of just population growth, in terms of just where the future workers of the world are going to be coming from. It's a fact, Africa is the future, and if basically you want to have access to the market, you're going to start, you know, you need to start basically developing your infrastructure right now. To a large extent, retail, especially retail, grocery retail like this, is a logistics business. You need to basically transport things to where people want them in the most efficient and cheapest way possible. And then Walmart is very efficient in that. But the strange thing about those kind of things, they aren't really transferable across geographies. I mean, just because you're good at it in the UK or the US or some part in the developed world, doesn't mean you can work out in Africa. And even if you're good in South Africa, doesn't mean you can operate in, for instance, Nigeria, as ShopRite has found out.
Yeah.
you know, but the one thing it is, it's almost like I would liken it to the old school, you know, fixed line telephone operators. There is a huge economy of scale if you become the supplier of, you know, online retail delivery and logistics in a particular geographic zone. The second business coming in has to rebuild exactly what you've built. It's very difficult for them to break into the market if you've established a monopoly. And I think right now there's many markets in the world that are, you know, up for grabs. But I think to a certain extent, Walmart is falling behind Amazon. Amazon's, you know, operations in the U.S., for instance, are, you know, peerless, quite frankly, especially when you consider the add-ons like Prime and so on. But there are markets in Africa that are easily, you know, still up for grabs. And yeah, maybe it is a play for that, you know, monopolistic kind of first mover advantage.
Okay. All right. And then one last question. We've got a little bit of time left. Sorry to put you under pressure. But wealth price up almost 2.9%. I mean, I know we spoke energy is a massive thing, but natural gas, oil, not the same thing. It looks to me, at least my two cents here, is that it seems to me like OPEC is kind of preparing us for production cuts. What do you make of this?
Yeah, look, oil is about to hit a lot of headwinds. I mean, one thing people don't remember maybe or don't know is that the U.S. has been pumping like 5 million barrels a week from its strategic reserves. And that's set to expire in 2 months' time, you know. Coincidentally, just about the time the U.S. goes into, you know, midterm elections. So, you know, there is that coincidence. So they're basically artificially lowering the price of oil and helping with gas prices and inflation and so on. When that is stops, basically, you're going to have not just the fact that 5 million is taken out of the market, they've got to replenish what they've taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that reserve is meant to be for, like, nuclear war or something, when they have, you know, to dip into things because of an absolute national emergency, not just because prices have risen, you know, due to, you know, like a war in Europe or something, you know what I mean? So That is one headwind coming through. OPEC does seem to be basically, despite the words about don't want to have a fair price in the market, they've gotten used to these kind of higher prices, and they're making a fortune. I mean, I think the Saudis are making over $1 trillion or something from these higher oil prices per year. It's a ridiculous amount of money. So they obviously want to maximize the amount of money they're getting, you know, from their commodity. And so I think they will also want to keep prices at least as high as here. And at the same time, things like the, you know, nuclear deal with Iran seems to be, you know, very uncertain at the moment. And that's obviously also another problem to be considered. So oil prices are, on their own, quite difficult. And going into winter, like I said, in Europe, if you can't get gas, you might have to burn oil. And that's also, you know, going to be adding on to, you know, towards price pressure.
All right. Okay. That's thank you very much, Viv. Thank you for talking to us. Unfortunately, we got to move on. But it's always a pleasure chatting to you. I hope you have a wonderful evening. That's Viv Governor from Rand Swiss. You're on Hot Business.